How's it going, guys? I'm Jeff.
I'm Alyssa.
And welcome to the Love That Lasts podcast, where we talk about faith, culture, and answer your questions. All right. Guys, first things first, we need to update you. We had a Category 5 hurricane barreling towards us. And
last week.
That's what we told you about. Yeah, last week.
We were telling you about that, but it was before we realized how serious it really was, I think.
No, I don't think we made fun of it at all. I think we were like saying that, yeah.
We didn't make fun of it, but I don't think we knew the seriousness of it.
I think it depends. I think I was prepared and I knew what was coming. But no, I'm joking. But tell them, update them on what happened and what we did all week.
No, you tell them.
You tell them.
Well, you were the one that was researching the whole time.
So I know. I'll get to that.
You tell them the facts and then I'll give them.
Okay, guys. So basically, it was one of the biggest hurricanes. This is what's crazy. It was one of the biggest. It was a Category 5 at some point, obviously, and then it went down from there. It was one of the biggest
ever come towards Maui. Yeah, or Hawaii.
I think the number was like it was the biggest hurricane that's come within 300 miles. Which, when we're talking hurricanes and little islands, 300 miles is basically like across the street. You know. In the context of like weather and the earth. So it was pretty crazy to realize that it was one of the strongest, biggest hurricanes in the history on the record books of Hawaii to come that close. And I don't want to say nothing happened because there was some serious damage on a couple places of the island. It miraculously, I think through prayer and other things, completely like disheveled and disintegrated and dissipated right off the shores. It basically went from like, I think it went down 4 categories in 24 hours, which that's unheard of. So that was pretty crazy. But Kihei, where we live, here's what's weird about Maui, guys. It's like, it has a bunch of micro ecosystems. And so it's literally like a tiny island. If you've been here, you know, you can get around the island in a couple hours.
And there's only like, 150,000 people?
Yeah. I think like one of the biggest towns in Maui are like 20,000, which is like where we live. And maybe like Kahului, I think is like 26,000. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's a small kind of country island. And it's small, but it has a bunch of micro ecosystems. What I mean by that is because of the mountains and because of certain things, like you can go 30 minutes, it can be a radically different feel, and especially with weather. And so what was crazy is, how would you say it? Basically, some places didn't get super like hit by the like Category 5 wind hurricane, but because of the circumstances had some unfortunate events happen, like Lahaina, which a lot of people know, that's where a lot of people vacation. It had a fire, which that's not something anyone's expecting. No one's expecting like fire. And that happened in the middle of the night. So that was really sad that basically in the middle of the night, one night, I think because of the wind, it maybe blew something over, some transformer exploded. I don't think they even know for sure yet. And in the middle of the night, can you imagine prepping for a hurricane and in the middle of the night, a fireman basically knocking on your door and blaring their sirens and yelling at everyone to get out for like, you know, I think it was like a small neighborhood, but still. And so then it ended up burning 1,300 acres last time I read. And then there was another tiny one a couple miles away. And a couple people lost their homes. So that's like, you know, no one died from that. I think one person got seriously injured and then a dog got lost or died. But yeah, so that's pretty serious. And then, but it was really cool to see Maui rally around. Mm-hmm. I think I was impressed at how quickly just like the Ohana love and spirit of the island just jumped into action, gave people like within 24 hours, the donation places and all these places basically said like, stop giving us stuff. We don't need anymore. And I'm like, man, that's a good problem to have. If within 24 hours, the whole island can basically just give anything they had to help those people that were displaced or evacuated. Pretty scary. We ended up supporting a couple families through that. And so crazy. And then Haikou, which is another place in Maui, like flooded pretty significantly and actually had a huge sinkhole. If you watch my Insta story, you saw that like the road just caved in. So yeah, I got thoughts, but you give your update.
Well, it was so weird because, Kihei, where we live, which is on the south side, supposed to get hit the worst of like on Tuesday. They were saying it's coming on the south side.
Yep.
Get ready for Kihei. And we were expecting a lot of flooding. And our friends even came and stayed with us for the week because, well, like a few days. Because
their house was kind of flood prone.
Yeah, they're in like the flood zone. And then the like Kihei hardly got any rain after it all was said and done. And other parts of the island suffered a lot worse. And the Big Island had a lot of flooding.
Big Island got really hit. Forgot to mention that. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, but it was just so crazy. And it was just a bag of emotions because, you know, over the years we've had hurricane scares and nothing has really happened. And so when Jeff and I first heard about it, we're like, oh, it's no big deal. It's just like we're living in Washington. Yeah. If the power goes out one day or, you know, it'll be rainy like it is in a Washington day. And then it started to be like, no, it's a Category 5. And then I think we started to realize, oh, hey, we live on an island. And so if we lose power, it could be for like it could be up to 2 months, really.
Well,
and
that'd be a significantly long time. But there is a historical precedent on Kauai. Kauai is way more country.
Yeah.
But there were some parts of Kauai in 1992 when they got hit really bad with Hurricane Iniki. Yeah, there were some remote parts of Kauai, which the island itself is already remote. And there's even more remote parts that got... Yeah, they were without power for 1 to 2 months, which is crazy to think about.
Well, and then too, like they could shut off your water because
gets contaminated,
the water gets so contaminated. So, so it's just like and then to have nothing happen, but it was so cool during it because it's funny too how people respond differently to possible crisis.
Yeah.
And I was telling Jeff, I'm so thankful. Well, there's a couple side notes, but so thankful for the Enneagram because I feel like it really helped me to understand Jeff as he was walking through it because we handled it so differently, which I'll go into a little bit later. But anyway, but I just was, as I was like thinking through the week and really praying for it, and it's so hard to know how do you prepare and like how do you prepare emotionally for your roof to fly off if, you know, that could be the worst of it or all these things. And one night I was putting Sis to bed and I was reading the Jesus storybook and we read about Noah and then we read about how Jesus calmed the storm in Luke and Matthew. And it just was so encouraging that to read those things and in, you know, when Jesus calmed the storm, even though it was on a lake, how the lake is situated in the Galilee and stuff, they get these crazy storms and it feels like a hurricane. And how Jesus slept through it. And then he woke up and he was just like, why are you guys afraid? Have faith. And he literally stopped the waves and the wind just by like his voice commanding it. And there's the verse in Luke that says, you know, I don't know exactly how it goes, but just basically like God commands the wind and the rain. And so I just was so encouraged by that. And I was really praying through that all week and just really asking the Lord, you are God Almighty and you reign and you are mighty and you could stop this hurricane. Like you literally, the waves and the wind and the rain obey your voice and you could stop it. And so I just was really asking God for a miracle and that he would step in and he would stop this hurricane. And it was so encouraging to see the categories go down and down and down. And then to watch that you put like a GIF or a,
yeah,
I don't know if it was
crazy,
a GIF, a video on his Insta stories. And it literally, like I envisioned God just stepping in and stopping it because the eye of the hurricane completely dissipated and like fell apart and it was no longer. And I just really feel like the Lord, and so many of you were praying, so many of you were keeping updated about it. And I really feel like the Lord just answered our prayers and protected all the Hawaii islands. And I know some places still got a lot of damage, but it could have been so much worse.
Yeah, totally. I actually want to talk about how our personalities totally showed up and what we learned about ourselves. But real quick, I want to talk about this week's sponsor. And it's actually very appropriate because I packed like 50 of them in a Ziploc in our evacuation bag. Not even joking. And this week's sponsor is RX Bar. I'm sure you guys have seen them. We love RX Bar. They're incredible. We love our RX bars. And if you don't know what they are, they're a whole food protein bar that's made with real whole ingredients. And the cool part that I love about them is their design is amazing because they want to be transparent as a company. And so on the front of their label, not in fine print on the back, they show exactly what is in their core ingredients. So it'll say things like egg whites, dates, and nuts, etc., right on the front in huge font. It's awesome. And that's why I love them is because they want to build things the right way. And transparency is one of their core values. And so they put that on their label. They have adult bars and kid bars. That's what we love about them. Cause we try to use things like this for, when we need the snack, like when it's on the go or when we're, you know, at a, you know, on the way to a birthday party, I think we ate them the other day or at the beach and we need a little snack. So they have adult ones for us. They got like peanut butter chocolate. My favorite's blueberry. Oh, phenomenal. And then the kids line is really cool. They're little smaller ones, same high quality nutrition. And they have more fun flavors. Like I think it's peanut butter and jelly.
Mm-hmm, that one's so good.
Yeah,
chocolate chip.
Yep, exactly. They're awesome. Both the adult and kids bars, just to let you guys know, are gluten-free, soy-free, dairy-free. No artificial colors, flavors, preservatives, or fillers. And they're perfect for parents for pre-post workout, breakfast on the go. And they're perfect for kids in lunch boxes, after school snacks, or in a sports bag. And yeah, like I said, we absolutely love them. And we totally, they're actually our snack of choice for when we need something on the go. So they want to hook you guys up. They're offering an exclusive pack of 6 adult bars and 4 kid bars. So I know we got a lot of families that listen. Take advantage of this. And so that all you guys can enjoy it. So for 25% off your first order, visit rxbar.com/Jeff. And Alyssa. So again, that's rxbar.com/Jeff and Alyssa, and use the promo code Jeff and Alyssa and you will get that discount. So again, rxbar.com/Jeff and Alyssa, and the promo code is the same thing, Jeff and Alyssa.
That's
at
a
checkout.
Steal.
It is.
And I love it because a lot of protein bars or whatever are really no different than a candy bar.
Totally.
And so these are like really good.
Yeah, no, we love them. They're awesome. Okay. So let's talk about personalities, guys. We you know, we've talked about the Enneagram. We love it. And what's funny is this totally showed it. Now,
I'm so thankful for the Enneagram because it helped me understand.
Yeah. In situations like this, so like whether it was the missile crisis a couple months ago, if you guys know that, where we all thought we were going to die.
Which still makes my heart beat.
Or this hurricane that got pretty serious. I'm an 8 on the Enneagram. And 8s in health go to 2, which is the helper. And in stress go to 5, which is the kind of investigator. You need information, all that stuff. Now, I would argue that I wasn't stressed. I would say in stressful situations, that's where I go.
Like, right. It's not necessarily when you're stressed. Totally. It's just like when there's a pressure situation.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I actually wasn't stressed. It's actually how I felt really like probably more calm and secure in the hurricane than almost anyone else. But
that's such an 8 thing to say.
Well, I'm just, it's true, right? Everyone's freaking out. I'm over here like, we're ready, we're good, and I'm going to go play some basketball or something. Well, you know, like, what else is there to do? But anyways, but I certainly do see that, like, I am the 8s go to 5s in pressure situations. And 5s are, they see the world through information, and they always have, they're called the investigator. They have to, and there's a couple other phrases for them, but they have to investigate. They have to have all the facts. They have to have all the information. They like to be really introverted, really quiet, and they need a lot of time to process and think, and they don't have a ton of emotional relational energy. And that was just me to a T. I wanted to be alone for the whole week. I wanted to read everything. I pretty much became a junior meteorologist. Like, I can tell you about like spaghetti models, and I can tell you about wind shear, and I can tell you about all these things that probably if I had a normal conversation with someone, they wouldn't know what I was talking about unless they like that stuff too. So it's just funny to see, right? I was a 5 and a 2 combined, actually, I think. Cause I think I was getting all the information, and that was being really helpful. I really wanted, when I'm really secure, I want to be really helpful. So most people, when they have a natural disaster come or whatever, they don't initially think of anything outside of themselves or their family. And and on the forefront of my mind was like, well, are we going to be able to take care of our neighbors? Are we going to be able to help those who need electricity? Are we going to, you know, and I'm not just trying to toot my own horn. I'm just saying that it's a natural thought to me that I think it is to other 8s. Because they that's just where they tend to go. So it was really interesting.
That's good.
But I have to be really mindful, because in the con or the bad side is I do get really isolated. Like, mm-hmm. I want to be alone. Don't talk to me. Don't come around me. Just like, let me be alone for like 7 years. and that's hard, obviously, when you have a wife and a kids. And again, it wasn't even out of stress. I just like don't. I do notice. I do want to be alone more. In a little bit more high octane situations or pressure situations, even when I'm not necessarily stressed. But
well, I think what was so helpful was because Jeff was like, they update the hurricane status every 3 hours.
Yeah. And so I literally set alarms and would check every 3 hours pretty much.
And he would like be on it for an hour at least, just research. He would want to know everything, research everything, like all the sites, all the news things, which
guys,
for me is just so opposite, because I'm just like,
okay, so I gotta jump in real quick. So literally the NWS, the National Weather Service, and the Central Pacific Hurricane Center, CPHC, I believe it's called, they are kind of they're the technical authority on hurricanes, at least over in the Pacific. And what I mean by that is like no one else has the authority to actually categorize a storm except for them. It's not just like some guy gets to pull a number out of his butt and say, this is what the category is. That's not what it is. They literally are the authority. They make the numbers, and they are the trickle down effect, which means news gets it from them. Other meteorologists get it from them, et cetera. Now they still have, you know, they're still looking at different models of different scientists, meteorologists, et cetera, of what do they think is going to happen. And so they kind of aggregate them, put them together, but they are the authority. And so, I would go to them every 3 hours for their report. Cause that's what they commit to, that every 3 hours during like a watch or a warning. Mm-hmm. All through the night. And And then what I would do is right after I would read their report, then I had like a list of people I follow on Twitter and stuff like that, other meteorologists, other experts that basically started that they're doing the same thing. And then they start giving their thoughts and interpretation of those things. So basically that's what I would do every 3 hours is check the report, then go look and read all the experts and what they say about the report every 3 hours. And yeah, it would take me like an hour each time. Continue.
Well, I don't really remember what I was saying.
Sorry. You're talking about that.
You lost me on that one.
I kind of disappear.
Oh, anyway. And so I was just saying, I was so thankful for the Enneagram because pre-Enneagram, P-E, I would have.
What?
Or B-E.
What?
Like, you know, B-C, before Christ.
Oh.
Before the Enneagram. I would have been really, I would have really struggled through the hurricane with Jeff and just like not understanding why he needed to be on his phone as much, not getting, like I just probably would have felt like he was, you know, those lies that come into your head, like, oh, he's abandoning us or not a bit. That's so strong. But, you know, just not understanding, yeah, like, why does he keep escaping? Why does he have to be on his phone so much? Can't he just be with present and be on our phone? But through the Enneagram, I just realized, oh, he's going to his five. He needs to know this information. It like brings him security and peace and he enjoys it. Like he wants to know all the information. And so it just gave me a lot of grace to be like, okay, I'm glad he's doing this. I'm going to like, you know, you do you, boo. And I'll just, you just tell me what category it is. Cause that's pretty much all that I can handle.
Yeah.
And, so I was really, really thankful for that understanding to see him through that lens and to be able to understand how he was operating and responding. Because when the atomic bomb thing went off, literally Jeff just like was on his phone for a half hour and didn't talk to me. Like he said, there's an atomic bomb warning. And then he didn't speak for 30 minutes. And that was pre-Enneagram. And I was freaking out. I'm like, well, what should I do about that? Is there, you know, like I started to ask him questions and he just like was silent. And so I'm really thankful now that I understand how he works. And it's funny. I haven't really thought so much about how I work, except that nines, they say are the most spiritual of the Enneagram. And I'm not saying that I'm not tooting any horn. I'm not saying we love Jesus the most or we're the most godly or anything like that. But I think we just see life through a spiritual lens. Like that's the first lens we look at, I think.
It can be Jesus or it can be a Ouija board. No. But either way, those people are not. Hey,
stop. So, but I think I just really like, I don't know. I mean, I'm processing this out loud, so yeah. I don't want to sound prideful or anything, but I just feel like I really went to like, I don't really care what any of the news says.
Totally.
Like
the Lord's got it.
What,
yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Like just
what's
what
the spiritual
is, what
part?
Has
yeah.
Jesus done in the past? Like totally. What scripture can I cling to? And I'm going to just pray through that. And I'm not saying other people
guys.
that aren't nines didn't do that, but I think that was just
basically
like
basically what Alyssa's saying, guys, is that if you're not her, you're not a spiritualist.
I'm not saying
like,
that
we
at
don't,
all.
Like we don't. The fact that I wanted to do my research, I don't love Jesus as much as her.
I'm not saying that at all. Please hear me. Please hear me.
I know. I'm just joking.
You know what I'm saying. I just feel like that was like what I went to, and I could like Jeff read me a hurricane report. I literally had no idea what he was talking about. All I understood was hurricane and category whatever, and so to me it was like just don't even like I could care less about the weather report or any of that. Just tell me a Jesus story. So I don't know. I don't know if that's how nines would necessarily always respond, but that's how I responded.
Yeah, no, I totally agree though with what you were saying.
Can you give me a little feedback? Because now I feel insecure.
Don't feel insecure. You should feel awesome and healthily prideful because you just
horn. But I didn't mean to toot any horn.
I'm joking. No, I agree. It's funny, like you said. Like,
well, I'm not like a two. I'm not a helper. So my first inclination is not to like make all these things for the neighbors or to like bring
people
in.
No, it's funny.
In.
It's like what you said. You did become more like you were also the rock and the anchor in our family of just like the Lord's got this and the Lord's with us and we are his. And yeah, it's the Enneagram is awesome because it lets you understand yourself and other people. That's the whole point of it. In a deep way connected to the Lord and spirituality, I think. And you can, people can do it in a non-Christian way, but its roots are certainly deeply sacred and spiritual. And so I think with the Lord and scriptures, it really comes alive. But yeah, it was really, really fascinating just to see how, and then to see how even our other friends played out friends just like me did the same thing and friends that are eights or friends that are helpers or whatever. It's just, it was really interesting.
Yeah. Also, side note. Jeff gives me the hardest time which I haven't done normally, but when I have a newborn, I like nurse my coffee. So, you know,
why are you coming at me right now?
Well, hold on. I'm going to come at you, but hold on. Let me tell my whole thing.
But I'm going to defend myself.
Okay. When I have a baby, like a newborn, and I'm not sleeping at night, I'll like pour myself a cup of coffee in the morning when we wake up, and then I'll have to reheat it like 5 times, you know, so I'll start at 5 a.m. and then probably finish it off by 11 a.m. because it's just in between nursings and taking care of the kids and when I can actually shower and stuff like that. And Jeff always gives me the hardest time, and he thinks it's so gross. But here, our friends bought him a cold brew from Starbucks.
Last week,
pre-hurricane, like on
Tuesday or Wednesday, probably.
Wednesday.
Yeah.
Afternoon. And today is Monday morning, and Jeff is still, like, almost halfway through with it.
Yeah, okay.
He's nursing it.
Okay, tell me when you're done.
I know what spiel you're going to get, but I just think, you know, you should give me a little grace for being a nurser.
No, because when you nurse regular, like hot coffee, that is disgusting and gross, repulsive, and you need to ask for forgiveness and repent. but here's why. Because let's just talk coffee science. You feel me? Okay. So cold brew, like all normal coffee.
Like, does it still taste good, or is it?
Tastes phenomenal.
It doesn't really? Yes. Taste the same as when you got it last Wednesday.
Yeah. Okay. So let's go through this. Okay.
Okay.
So coffee science, for those that don't know, like, and this is actually for you rookies out there. I'm here to serve you right now. I'm here to bless you.
All those that.
Because.
Are Dunkin' Donuts drinkers.
Yeah. Like, cause a lot of
no
people.
Offense.
Like I ran into a few people that think cold brew is just like cold coffee. Like it's just hot coffee that then they put in the fridge, and I shed a tear every time. And so here's the truth, guys. Hot coffee, there's different ways to extract the flavor from the beans.
Hold on to your seats, people. Okay? We're going far.
Now, if we're talking hot coffee, you're basically extracting the flavor through heat. Okay? You're extracting it through heat over a quick period of time, right? Like, so whether that's a pour over, whether that's French press, whether that's AeroPress, you're using heat and either pressure or drip or gravity over just a couple minutes to make coffee. And that's how you get the good extraction. But then once that coffee goes from hot then to cold, it starts changing on like on a certain molecular level. And it's just gross. Like the people that put their coffee back in the microwave and microwave it, like that is like, you're not about to get the same thing when that thing comes out. Okay.
That's true.
So
it does have a different taste.
So you have to drink it while it's hot for optimal extraction flavor profiles. Now, cold brew, you guys, is not just hot coffee. Like there's a difference between iced coffee and cold brew. And the difference is iced coffee is exactly what I just said, where it's coffee.
But they double the amount of.
Yeah, it's usually
coffee.
A little stronger. Yeah, yeah. Usually, and because the ice will dilute
right.
it. The ice will dilute it. But
so does that change the flavor?
No, it's still like good. It's mainly a fresh thing. Less about it being cold or hot. Like it's like it was just made, hopefully, and it's.
Well, I think you do have to pour it out after like 24 hours.
That's what I'm saying. Because it's mainly are you drinking it fresh when it was made?
Right.
But then cold brew on the other hand, guys, is actually they extract the flavor not through heat and speed over a couple minutes, but actually through time. Meaning the extraction is not the thing that's bringing the flavor out is not heat. The thing that's bringing the flavor out is time. And so what you do is you put the beans, grind them, you know, the grounds, and you put them in water, normal,
like cold water,
yeah, or room temperature or whatever. And then you let it sit in the fridge and like basically marinate in itself for like 24 hours usually.
Does it drip still?
No. Like you literally just put coffee in. I mean, some people.
How do you not get the grounds in your coffee?
You do some type of straining system or whatever.
Like a French press?
Yeah, some people will even do it. Some people will even use the French press carafe thing to make
cold brew. But put it in the fridge?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you press it down then immediately and then put it in the fridge?
I don't believe so.
So you leave it up.
Yeah, and then you press like after the next day. Because you kind of want the entireness of the water
to
be kind of soaking in all the beans. You want like a marination station to be happening, okay?
Then I feel like this could be a spiritual analogy.
And then after 24 hours, then you strain it. Or if you already have it, you know, separate, then you have cold brew. And you'll know when you drink cold brew because it is when you extract via time instead of heat, it's so much – like it's a different beverage.
Isn't it a lot stronger?
Well, it depends on, some people make cold brew concentrate and then you can dilute it with water depending on how you want it. But the flavor, no matter what, how you drink it, is just crazy smooth and subtle. It's way more buttery and smooth and velvety. And
so it lasts
soft.
Longer? Like, what's the shelf life then?
But see, what I was going to say then, I mean, it's probably not forever, but at the end of the day, like me putting this back in the fridge and nursing it all week is essentially doing the same thing that it already does when it brews. even though there's no grounds in it anymore, so it doesn't, it's not going to continually extract. Mm-hmm. You feel me? Okay. So all that to say, it's okay to nurse cold brew. It's not okay to nurse any other coffee beverage. Can you feel me out there, people? Let me know on DMs. Okay, me know on Twitter.
You know what? You've won me over. You've proven your point.
Wow. Thanks, babe. That means a lot.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm going to bless you tonight for that. That was good.
TMI. Also, to all those that DM me about when the pumpkin spice latte was coming out.
Yeah,
girls,
you got hit up hard.
This is why I love you. And it's this week, right? The 28th? As in tomorrow?
Yeah, you're right. Tomorrow or Wednesday.
When this podcast comes out?
Yep.
Okay, girls. If you are listening to this podcast and
which
it comes out today.
Which means now we won't see it
until
next year.
That's true. Now we probably will not have it for a couple more weeks. But if you get it, tag me in your little picture. Because you know you're going to take a picture with your PSL.
Tag her. And then if you want to tag me and then say hashtag basic white girl pumpkin spice latte.
Exactly. Oh, I'm so excited.
If you get it at Target, like if you bring your pumpkin spice latte into Target, that is like a basic white girl explosion.
Guys, okay, mom, I have a mama break on Thursday. That's what I'm doing.
You're going to go to Target, go to the new one that they just built in the parking lot.
I'm going to go to the new Starbucks, get my pumpkin spice latte, unless if Maui is way behind. And then I'm going to go and walk through the Magnolia aisle of Target.
You know what? What's weird is that sounds like an ideal day for me, too.
Ooh, maybe we should do it together.
Dates. I'm an 8 that goes to a 5. I want my alone time.
You've had enough of your alone time all week.
That's true. No, let's do it. I miss you. I love you. Mm-hmm. All right, guys. So that's all we got for this. No, seriously. I think that's the 30-minute mark. So, all right, guys. We love you. We hope you have a great week. Be blessed.
Happy last week of summer.
Yeah, rest in the Lord, or rest in the Lord, LAWD, as I like to say.
With your latte.
Yeah, with your pumpkin spice latte. All right, talk to you guys later.